Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine and the best-selling publisher at the boutique publishing house, InspiredLivingPublishing.com. And I am passionate about bringing you guests that inspire you to live deeper, more authentic lives. And today we're going to be talking about something that I've done for years, but after reading her book, realized, whoa, I can dive even deeper into that. And the topic we're talking about is list making. Did you know that the simple act of writing a list can open doors to personal discovery and spiritual growth and can provide a guiding light with the power to heal, instruct, and change lives? From bucket list to wish list to love list to list for spiritual reflection, these lined items can help examine milestones, identify complications, embrace adventures, dispel fears, celebrate joy, contemplate faith, and so much more. Joining me today is award-winning writer, speaker, professor, gifted wordsmith, and dedicated list maker, Marilyn McIntyre. Marilyn is the author of 14 books, including the recently released Make a List, How a Simple Practice Can Change Our Lives and Open Our Hearts. And her career has spanned over this. Her writing has appeared in The Christian Century, Weavings, Sojourners, Prism, Conversations, Medical Humanities, Literature and Medicine, and a variety of other academic and trade publications. You can learn more at MarilynMcIntyre.com. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you. What a pleasure to be here.
Well, I received a copy of your book, and the moment I saw the title, I'm like, yes, I need to dive into this. My family used to pick on me about list writing because I have those little Rolodex things, index cards that I keep for work, and then I have journals that I write. But your book brought it so much deeper. So let's talk about how you came to believe that writing a list can change our lives.
Well, I'm an inveterate list maker, too. I think that it kind of comes naturally to some people. But what I found early on was that when I sat down to write a list, it helped me to clarify what I needed to think about, my concerns or my intentions or my fears. But as I began to list things, space would open up. That's what's magical about lists. They are so simple. They don't have a form. They can grow up to become poems. But once you start in on a list, if you give it a title, like Things I Want Now, and you begin to put them down, almost every time you surprise yourself. That's my experience, that you begin with the things you know you want. But then as you stay with it, and that's the key, is to stay with it a little longer than you might be inclined to, other things come up. So I think it's a doorway to the unconscious, or that place in our minds where we've stored things that we haven't looked at for a while.
It's beautiful of saying stay with it, because for me, when I'm list making, it's the things I think of that are at the front of my mind that get on the list first. But suddenly, especially when it's the personal list like you referred to, suddenly, it's almost as if, well, for me, I'll speak in my language, it's like my soul is reminding me of things. It comes from deep within. It wasn't in my consciousness. I didn't even know. Is that what you were referring to when you said stay with it? Especially on a list as intimate as the things I want.
Yes. It's a process of making a space that can be entered. And so I think as you begin, it's almost a prayerful, or it can be a prayerful practice where you just say, let whatever comes, come. It's a place of permission. And so as things come up and you write them down, that's a way of assenting to that process of allowing things to occur to you. And even if they're fears, what things I'm afraid of, you know, there's some value in putting those down. They're somehow less menacing if you give them names and you make a space for them.
That's beautiful because, so in your book, you give so many wonderful examples of how we can use lists because, to be honest, in my younger years, my sister used to do it and I used to be like, you know, I'm a free spirit. I don't want to do lists. And I really believed that. And I'm 55. I'd say I probably believed it for the first 30 years of my life. I thought that by making a list, I was boxing myself in, right? And
it's just the opposite.
Yes, well, that's what I discovered. And I initially began writing lists because, you know, I have multiple brands and businesses. And I said, you know, I can relax more and not worry about forgetting something if I keep a list. And I actually teach some of my private clients this. And what I discovered was it's exactly what you said a moment ago. It creates space because by taking it out of my head, and putting it on here, it's like, I can let it go now. It's here. I don't have to carry it with me. Have you had clients and people share that feeling too?
Yes. I've done lists with students. I've done lists with, I do a lot of retreat work with women especially. So if you ask a group of people to say, just make a list of things to let go of, what in your life maybe you need to let go of in order to free you up. And I had a funny experience at one retreat. A woman said, I don't want to do that list. So it was clear that even thinking about making the list was a little scary. Like, I don't want to let go of things. But once you begin looking at what might I need to let go of at this point, either physical things just to get rid of clutter or something internal that I've been clutching at that maybe if I let go of it, it would free me. And again, just naming those things allows you to imagine ways of being freer and more living more spaciously.
And that's what I really loved about your book, because I've always viewed it as a tool to help me get things done and to energetically create space in my own energy field so I wouldn't have to carry around my to-dos. But what you teach is so much deeper. It's, and this is just how I felt. It's like list making from the soul's perspective. That's what it felt like as I went through your book, because it's like your processes guided me into slowing down into, like, I would choose one, and there was one of them, and I think it's in the first chapter, to decide what you want to let go of. And I think it was near one of the moons, and I said, this is the perfect one to write this. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize some of the things in your life that you may not have even been thinking about. For me, the big one that was a surprise was sugar, right?
Oh,
I knew that it was not good for my health, and I've been getting tips, but as I kept writing and writing through that list, that one was coming up with such a strong knowing that it was truth.
Yes. And so that process of making yourself aware of something you think you already know takes you to a deeper place of knowing. At the end of each chapter, I give lists of lists to try. And for instance, one of the ones I remember is when I am most content. And that seems like a fairly straightforward list. But if I begin to write down what are the moments in my day or in my week when I find myself most content, it helps me to retrieve the feeling of contentment and to recognize what it is I might need more of in my life, more space, more time, more walks, more sleep. But just what is it that really gets me to contentment? So it's a way of pausing over one thing, like the feeling of being content and noticing.
That's the big thing, is the word noticing, because so many of us, and I'm guilty of it at times, we're rushing through life, right? We're not present in our own lives, and the processes and suggested lists that you try, I found that they were aimed at bringing us into present moment awareness.
Right. And I think, among other things, lists are a way of slowing down. I've mentioned often that I think slowing down over anything is a kind of countercultural act, that we just all live at such a momentum, and there are so many incentives to hurry up and speed up and be productive and get things done. But to just sit down and maybe say, I'm going to take 5 minutes here and just list things I've been putting off, or things I've been wanting to get to, things I've wanted in the last week, things I want for this particular child or grandchild, things I hope for next month. But just to sit down and do that little exercise is to also give yourself permission to stop over something in your life. And that experience of stopping itself has value.
It does, and I know it has for me over the last 25 years, learning to slow down. In your book, Make a List, How a Simple Practice Can Change Our Lives and Open Our Hearts, is a great resource for helping us, women, everyone, learn to slow down by, you know, tapping into the present moment. And when we come back from our break, I want to talk more about how we can make space for the mysterious and the unexplainable, which is one of my favorite topics because it's how I live my life. And we'll be back in a moment with Marilyn McIntyre of MarilynMcIntyre.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And with me today is award-winning writer, speaker, professor, and gifted wordsmith, Marilyn McIntyre of MarilynMcIntyre.com. So, Marilyn, as I was reading through your book, you refer a lot to the mysterious and making space for that. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means a range of things at this point in my life, but I'm really interested in how people get guidance. You know, that I really believe that there is guidance available to us, that there's another dimension of life. I've spent a lot of my life among people of faith and people who pray, people who meditate. And so I really do feel, and one time when I was meditating, I got this very clear message: you are held, you are witnessed, you are accompanied, you are loved. And that has really stayed with me. So however people think about that, whether you have faith, you belong to a faith community that's definable, like a Christian or a Jewish or a Buddhist community, or whether you just cultivate your own faith practices, I do think that allowing ourselves to broach what is most mysterious or unexplainable is to cultivate a way of noticing how that enters our lives. And I have talked to many people about how they get guidance. I think we get guidance in dreams. I think if we begin to notice, we're often nudged by circumstances towards something we might not have thought to choose. I mean, doesn't that happen to you where you think, wait, where'd this come from?
All the time. It's how I live my life. I allow that to lead my way, right? Those insights, I call them divine downloads. It's these knowings. Yeah, I call them, like, when I get them, I use the hashtag a lot on social media called soul giggles, hashtag soul giggles.
Uh-huh.
That's what it feels like to me. Like, it's a knowing that drops in, and I'm like, I wasn't consciously asking for it or thinking about it, but I leave space for it to come.
Exactly.
And when it does, I know it because I get those soul giggles, as I like to say. And once you experience that, once you learn to trust it, and this is what I do a lot with my private clients too, is it becomes your guiding force. And,
right.
And you're living in, I call, ease, grace, trust, and flow.
And oh, that's a lovely list.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite mantras, and my team goes by it. Our projects on flow with ease, grace, trust, and flow.
Oh, so, lovely.
Yeah, they've been for 9 years. They hear it. It's like, how does our project unfold? And that's how I want to run my life, my businesses, etc. But as you shared, we have to leave space and create space for that to happen.
Yes, and a word that's come up several times already is noticing. Because I really think that the more you notice those moments, the more you get them. So, for instance, if you start paying attention to your dreams, many dream workers will say you get more dreams or you remember them better. And one wonderful list to make is dream images. Not whole narratives of dreams necessarily, but just images that have come to me in dreams that have stayed with me. And those images are really material that you can come back to and work with. Or moments of grace, just to list moments of grace over the last week. When has something dropped into my life that was unexpected, that had a gift-like character, or surprised me, or changed my direction? And until you think to line them up, you often just don't see them.
Yeah, but when you're recording them and paying attention, like you, I believe you'll see more of them, more moments of grace, more of everything that you're putting your energy and focus on.
Right. I used to teach courses in autobiography occasionally, memoir and autobiography. And one of the exercises was just in brief format, tell your life as a story about loss. So people would do that, just string together, what have I lost? What have been my losses? And then tell your story as a story about discovery. So they would do that. And then the final part of the exercise was tell your story as a story about grace. And just connect all the little moments that you remember that were moments of grace in your life where something opened up, something shifted, something was reframed, an invitation came, and you were surprised by some kind of joy that you didn't make. It's a great way to review your life.
It's so beautiful, too. And it just, like for me, as I was reading through your book and looking at the variety of lists that you recommended and also tried some of them, it brings this sense of, I don't know, stillness, like I was dropping down into my body, out of my head, which is, you know, where we have to live in the world. But I could feel myself dropping down. Have you experienced that yourself? It's like, you can actually physically feel yourself shifting?
Yes. And sometimes if I can't just drop right into real quiet space, prayer or meditation, writing a list sometimes helps me get to that threshold. It takes me inward. So it's a kind of preparation. And another thing that lists do is take me to my learning edge. Some of the ones that I recommended, I remember, were things I'd like to know lists, things I'd like to know about my bioregion or my watershed, things I'd like to know about my family history, things I'd like to know about the Bible. And just to kind of review, where am I at my learning edge? Where are my curiosities at this point in my life? I really believe in lifelong learning. And this is a way to help define the curriculum, so to speak.
And also, because I think we fall into a comfort zone, right? And we don't stretch ourselves. And just that one list gets us to see some of the interests that maybe we actually forgot about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think once you're out of school, you fall into a groove very easily. If I had my way, we'd all go to school once a week for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, well, that's part of, I'm like you, I'm an avid learner. I'm a book geek. And my family laughs that says, no wonder you became a magazine and book publisher, because I love the written word. It's how I transformed my life, especially spiritual and personal development books. So when yours crossed my path, I was like, I have to have her on the show.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you did. Another thing that occurs to me that is helpful for me in list making is the ways in which it can enhance relationship with the people that you know. The people you know best. So I'm going to recommend a birthday list, which is on someone's birthday in your family, to just give them a list of things I've noticed about you this year.
So, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it helps people not only to feel attended to, but actually to be attended to. If I really sit down and think about, say, my brother, whom I don't see that often, what have I noticed about him this year? I will notice that even in well into adult life, he keeps changing. We all keep changing a little bit. So putting that frame around it makes me appreciate that he's also on a journey of growth.
That's so beautiful. And then for them on the receiving end, what a sacred gift that is.
Well, I would hope so. It's really easy for us to peg each other, isn't it, to just... Yeah, I know who she's. Yeah, I mean, I think how often kids say, yeah, Mom, I know what you're going to say. I sometimes think, no, you don't.
Exactly.
I think you do.
You mean I'm not the only mother that hears that?
No.
So one of the things...
They protect me from movies. They say, you wouldn't like this one, Mom. And again, I kind of think, how do you know?
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? No, one of the things you share in the book is that list making can help us communicate more effectively and serve as like seeds for pivotal conversations. How?
Well, one thing that it can do, one thing I believe in is just word lists. I love words. I've written books about words. I love the ancient practice of Lectio Divina, which is this Benedictine practice of taking a short passage from Scripture, although it could be a passage from any text, and listening for the word or phrase that stands out for you, and then allowing that to be a door that opens and brings up associations. So I think paying attention to words themselves and how we hear words and which ones are trigger words help to make us able to communicate a little more subtly. Because if I say a word like, I don't know, conservative or liberal, you know how loaded those are.
Yes.
But if I am able to unpack them, what words do I associate with conservative? And if I make a list of those, then I begin to see the field of meaning that word acquires. And I begin to understand how these highly charged words can derail conversations. So sometimes it's important to have conversation about the words that we're using. And I think... especially verbs are important. I used to give an exercise in creative writing classes where I'd give them a verb or ask them to write a list of verbs for a minute. And one of them was things light does. And they would begin with light shines, light illuminates, you know, light spreads. But then they have to keep going for a minute. And a minute is a long time for a list of verbs, but they would get to some really fun ones like it oozes and it breaks and it splits and it splays. To notice all of that is to say words are really rich and there are lots of verbs. There are lots of things going on anytime you point at something and say, what is that doing? I think it helps us to see more subtly.
Yeah, and it helps us be more conscious of the language that we use. So those are some great insights. And when we come back from our next break, you have shared in the book that list making is a journey of self-discovery, and I want to dive in more on that topic when we come back from our break. And you're listening to the Inspired Conversations radio show. I am your host, Linda Joy, and with me is Marilyn McIntyre of MarilynMcIntyre.com, and we will be back in a moment.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ladies, your story has the power to transform lives. Four-time best-selling boutique publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, is dedicated to sharing women's stories of hope, love, and transformation with the intention to inspire and empower their readers to believe in the power of possibility. Share your story in an upcoming print or Kindle project. Visit inspiredlivingpublishing.com today.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Marilyn, right before the break, we were talking about the different ways words can really impact our lives and being conscious of how we use them. In your book, you say that list making is a journey of discovery. I found that just from reading your book and going through some of the list making activities. Please explain what you mean.
Well, I think that sometimes if I don't bring things into conversation, if I don't confess them to someone, if I don't even allow myself to think about them, it's good to find a safe space on a piece of paper and just list them. So, for instance, one of the lists I recommended in the book was to explore feelings. What brings me close to tears? Things that bring me close to tears. And it takes me back to those moments when I've sort of choked back tears, or I felt like crying, or I have cried. And where is it? What is sorrow in my life? What sorrows do those things attach to? What sense of loss? But so exploring that will help me to get at something in myself that might still need to be healed. Or another was, what irritants might I need to explore? If things have been irritating me, you know how sometimes you can go for days, really, and just feel slightly irritated, maybe by a particular situation, and not stop and notice it and name it and say, what's that about? But it's usually about something that's not just how somebody folded the clothes. So I think what is that about is a lovely question that opens the way for a list. And irritation and sadness and restlessness, those kinds of feelings are always about something that will be more able to be healed if you can name it.
Well, what they say is that with awareness you can shift, right? Because once something comes, once you're aware of something, you then have the choice of how you're going to move forward. And that word choice has always been pivotal in my life, because sometimes we go through life feeling as if we don't have a choice, whether that's a story that we've told ourselves or just a belief system we picked up. And what I'm hearing is, by becoming more aware of whatever it is we're doing the list about, like you said, feelings is a perfect example. The moment we're aware that we've been feeling something, we have the choice to do the work to change those feelings if they're, you know, towards the negative side.
That's right. So, the positive side.
Yeah, that, so we can bring more of the positive feelings into our lives.
Right. I mean, a lovely list would just be what I want more of. I want more time with my husband. I want more of Elizabeth Berg's books. I want more conversation with my daughter. I, you know, just, yeah, this is good. I want more. What are the things in my life that feed me and not just make me happy, but help me grow?
And that's the beautiful part of your book, that you give so many examples, things that I wouldn't have thought of. What do I notice in my garden today? Right? And and when I read that, I'm like, oh my God, when's the last time? I don't have a garden, but my daughter and granddaughter do. And I said, I wonder when the last time I truly took a look at it, to witness it, to see the flowers coming up, the veggies coming up. And just by reading the name of your list, I dropped down going, oh my, when is the last time I noticed my garden? It sounds so simplistic, but it's powerful.
It really is. And that particular one came from witnessing my mother, who was a full-time teacher. But when she came home, she'd give us hugs. She'd ask about our day, and then she'd change her clothes and go into the garden. And every week, if not more than once a week, she'd say, come out with me. Walk around. I'll show you what's happening. And so she'd go to one plant or another and say, look, there's a new little shoot coming up, or did you notice that this bush blossomed? And so I was taught to recognize that a garden is a place where life is happening.
And what a gift.
Really a lovely legacy from her.
Oh, wow. That is a beautiful gift. I could just feel it in my body. And I loved, it's a little side thing, but I loved that she knew how to nurture her soul and did the things that nurtured her soul, because a lot of women wouldn't have taken the time. And you can tell that ritual she had was a powerful part of who she was and what her soul needed.
Yeah, it really was. And it was certainly modeled something valuable for me.
Especially around self-care.
Yeah. And so, you know, self-care is another place where a list can really help you make some plans about how to take care of yourself. If you made a list, and one thing we haven't talked about is once you have a list, then moving it around, prioritizing it, noticing what you want to go to the top of it. But if you say, what are some kinds of things I would love to do to take care of myself? And maybe one is a vacation, and maybe one is a regular massage, and maybe one is, you know, spend the money and go get a pedicure, whatever it is. But then you might order them in terms of what's most possible right now or what makes me happiest when I look at it. And as I said, some lists grow up to be poems. And so as you kind of move things around on a list, it becomes fun to look at. And one line will lead to another. And some lines are funny and some lines are sobering. Like, I did a list after I turned 50 of what's fun after 50. And I just thought about, you know, okay, I don't even really want to do the things anymore that I did in my 20s. But what's fun now? What's really fun? And then once I had that list down, to sort of look at it and say, this is a really fun list, and some of these things make me laugh. And some of them are sobering, because after 50, of course you think about how you've lived a good part of your life. So how is my fun different now? How is it quieter? What have I released? How have I accepted aging in new ways? That was a pretty rich list to write.
Well, I turned 55, so I know the feeling of like reviewing. And every year on my birthday, I have a birthday ritual, different from what you just described, but some similarities. It's like a list. I write down every year. I write down what I'm grateful for, the lessons and the blessings of that between birthdays, and then a list of what I want to envision for the year that's just beginning. So, you know, now this conversation made me realize, well, I have had a beautiful, reflective list ritual for, God, 25 years now, but I just never called it a list ritual. But you're helping me see that that's exactly what you're talking about, right? Having a conversation with your soul. And why do it just on, that my question for myself now is, why do it just on your birthday, Linda? Because I never miss it. I'm on the Cape Cod beach at the end of October. Sometimes it is nice out, and sometimes I'm wrapped in blankets, winter coats, my boots, but I never miss it, even if it's snowing or raining. And this conversation, your book is getting me to say, wow, how else can I do this? So a moment ago you mentioned that once you do have a list, so that the action steps, so some lists would be just to do it and connect with your soul, but some are meant to take action on, am I correct?
Yes, of course. And there are lots of things. There's a whole part section in the book called What to Do with the To-Do List. And one thing is to move things around on it. And another thing is to allow each item on the to-do list to kind of open up space for its own list. Like one of the things you have to do is to, finish a project that you've been postponing, then you might just list what are the main steps, which sounds kind of prosaic, but sometimes I think I at least put things off because they seem so daunting and huge. But just listing them, if there are only really five things you have to do, it makes it seem much more manageable.
Exactly. And you know, I think so many of us, right, we're used to doing that when it comes to what I call like the true to-do tasks, like whether, like you said, a business project, a family project. We think nothing of writing down, you know, plan a vacation. Well, if the plan a vacation is on your dream list that you wrote earlier, now you're saying create a sub-list and let's take some action steps to bring that dream vacation to life.
Right. And once again, if you just write the steps down, they're not that big.
No, they're not.
They're not that big when you don't imagine them specifically. Specificity is a wonderful tool. I think in all my years of teaching writing and English courses where students had to write papers, the thing I've said to them most frequently is be more specific. What do you mean? What exactly do you mean? And that's where the list comes in. And specificity is just empowering.
Well, it is, because it also gives us clarity on our true desires, I found.
Yeah.
And we're going to take our last break, and we'll come back. There's something you mentioned at the beginning. I really want to spend time on that because it just sounds so interesting. And that would be, how do we turn a list into a prayer, a poem, or a love letter? Maybe not the hows, but how did you discover it? And some tips to doing so, because that sounds like, I'm going to go back to my files and see what I have there.
Okay.
And we'll be back in a moment with Marilyn McIntyre of MarilynMcIntyre.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you ready to experience the unshakable love and unleashed passion you really want? Great news! Discover what thousands of people are doing to transform their relationships in ways they never thought possible. And your partner does not need to participate in the process to enjoy the results you want in your relationship. relationship expert and Aspire magazine columnist Stacy Martino and her husband Paul are the founders of RelationshipDevelopment.org and Relationship U. They have successfully empowered thousands of clients with tools and strategies that really work to transform their relationship, any relationship. And your partner does not even need to participate for their proven system to work for you. Transforming your relationship is possible, and it begins with you. Take the first step and visit relationshipdevelopment.org today.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and today we're talking about the power of list making, more from as a personal development tool. So, Marilyn, when I saw that you had shared that our list can be turned into a prayer, a poem, a love letter, is this what you discovered in your own list making journey?
Yes. Well, I grew up in a Christian family. My parents were missionaries. They were wonderful people, and they gave me a lot of grounding in faith. But it was not a tradition that practiced a form of prayer that I discovered much later, which nobody said the rosary. They didn't say litanies. So these long, repetitive prayers that exist in many traditions, like the Buddhist prayer beads or the chants or the stay with, we're just being here kind of prayer, that was something I had to come to in adult life. And I loved them. I feel like there's something deeply relaxing about just staying, either chanting or staying with the same thing over and over in a meditative way, or as in a litany, listing the petitions, the things I want to pray for, the things I want to recognize. So, for instance, if I am concerned about a person in my family, I might hold that person up in my prayer and just say, you know, for, I'll make up a word so I don't, my daughters don't feel singled out, but say you have a daughter and her name is Susan or something. For Susan, for her difficulties with her oldest child, for her struggles with weight, for her efforts to get time for herself, you know, just circling around her needs and naming them will make me more attentive to ways I might be able to address some of those needs. And it will also just see her in terms of her needs. And that's a way of really bringing her lovingly into my own consciousness and holding her up for divine help.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Just, it's almost like you're creating a sacred container.
Yeah, and I think there's something sacred, actually, about repetition. There's a there's a verse my dad used to quote, like something about don't be like the heathens with their vain repetitions. And it took me a long time to figure out that not all repetition is vain. Some repetition is really very powerful. It's a poetic device.
And I use mantras and affirmations a lot. And when, you know, life brings you anxiety, I've even taught my six-year-old granddaughter this, repeat, you know, I am in this moment, I am safe, or whatever it may be that we're talking about, right? It is calming to me to have a mantra or an affirmation, short, brief, to the point, that you just repeat over and over. It's soothing.
It is. It's wonderful. And so It can be the same thing over and over. It can be variations on the same thing. And you mentioned love letters. I write poems for my husband on our anniversary every year. And so he's got a big collection of them now. But I remember, it might have been last year, he has done a lot of painting as in his retirement. He recently retired. And I think about all the colors in his studio and how much he loves color. And so I just went through a list of the colors where I see reds in his life, where I see yellows, where I see greens. It was so much fun to write. And all it really started as is a list of the colors in his life and space.
And then you just expanded on it from your heart. And what a beautiful gift of writing a love letter every anniversary.
It's been fun. Some anniversaries I think, oh, wait, it's coming. I have to write this. But it's never just a chore, and it's always, some are better than others, but it's always a lovely exercise for me, and he likes it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful gift. And so we talked about so many different things today. Is there a piece of wisdom or tips or something that's come into your mind that you want to be sure our listeners walk away with?
Well, I think that it is the value of hearing your own inner voice, and sometimes of hearing a voice that's not really yours, a voice that you might identify as coming from a divine source, your angel, the Holy Spirit, however you understand that that comes to you in the quiet spaces. But I think listening for that is a source of wisdom that most of us don't resort to often enough. And I have come to believe that this simple practice of just sitting down for a few minutes and making a list can open up that listening space, that awareness that invites in whatever kind of wisdom wants to address you. And then saying thank you at the end. And by the way, it can be a really short practice. I think sometimes when people are encouraged to journal every day, that becomes onerous. But if you just say, I'm going to list 10 things I like, 7 things I'm concerned about, 5 things I want to pay attention to today, something that short, or I'm going to write for 3 minutes, that's all I have, that can all by itself be really valuable.
I love the tip on, like, just even 3 minutes of writing. I tell the authors that are with my book publishing company when they get stuck, and I said, stop making it so big in your head. Just commit to showing up on the page. And if you have to tell your mind that it's, you know, for 5 minutes, I promise you, if you show up, set a sacred intention, light a candle, and just show up for those 5 minutes, it will become 30 minutes, an hour, because you are showing up and allowing it to come. So it's the same with the process as you describe. It's show up, start, just start.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if I know we're close to the end of our time, I thought it might be fun to just read one of the lists.
It would be beautiful. Yeah, we have 4 minutes left, so please.
Well, the one I've just been scrolling through here, thinking of that, there's one just called What I Want Now, which I think is important because it's a way of staying in the now. And I think recognizing what we want is a way of staying in touch with ourselves, keeping knowing ourselves. So this is a very short list of what I want now, and here's what I put on it. Quiet companionship, good walking shoes, candlelight every evening, good coffee every morning, time to read and reread, energy to care for those who need my care, podcasts worth pondering, and suppers and song with people I love. That's a short one.
Yeah, but it's so beautiful, and I could feel the intention of every line item that you shared. Like it was, I was like I was going into the moment with you.
And well, thank you.
And they were so beautiful, but and what I loved about them is they were really coming from a deeper place.
Well, they were, but what's fun is that along with the several that really do have to do with what are my deeper desires, I put good walking shoes.
I was just going to bring that one up. I giggled because that's a logical thing that you need and want mixed with the deeper. So it's a beautiful dance between the two.
Right, and that's where they become fun. You know, you were talking about the element of laughter. And when you surprise yourself, it often is a moment of laughter. Like, duh, yeah, okay, of course I want that. Or I hadn't even seen that. But laughter is a way of welcoming the thought or the inspiration that comes that you didn't expect. And I even think that prayer is a place that can open up laughter to say, oh, yes. You know, what do I want to say yes to? Lists are a way of saying yes to whatever comes.
I'm going to tell you, this conversation and your book have inspired me to really pick this up. And I also love teaching my granddaughter. I have a grandson that's 18 and a granddaughter that's 6. And the little one, I've always taught my grandson different ways to tap into himself, right? And the granddaughter and I are a lot alike. And I love teaching her things. And she's just starting to write. And this is beautiful. Like, I taught her how to do the I am meditations in the mirror, affirmations, I should say. So I love teaching her things like this, and it could be, for her, at her age, two things that make you happy, two things you like about Baxter the cat. But if I start at this young age, it's given her a gift.
Mm-hmm. It really would give her a gift. It's like the walk in the garden.
Yeah, and that's the story that really brought this going. I can start her now. Right? Even if she can't write them clearly, it's given her a gift, and I think it's fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah, and that's the vibe and energy that I took away from when I had the download to say, do this with, I call a hashtag Little Goddess on social media because I don't use a name, but that I can do with her to give her another tool in life.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Thank you for those insights and inspiration.
Yeah, well, thank you for the conversation. What a pleasure to talk to you about this.
Well, I am excited to share your resources, this wisdom, your wisdom and insights with my audience. And I want to invite everyone to go to MarilynMcIntyre.com. And I'd like to spell Marilyn's last name. It's McIntyre. MarilynMcIntyre.com. Learn more about her services, her books, and get to know her and dive deeper into her teachings because they're powerful. So thank you, my friend, for joining me today.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
And everyone, I hope to see you every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for another inspiring conversation. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.